There's just so much to say about our young people, because the reality is it's a rarity to have young people like we have at our church that are hungry and passionate for God. It's a rarity in today's age. 10, 15, 20 years ago, we would never be saying that because our churches were packed, but I'll share a little bit. So I said that to say this. This summer is going to be so awesome.
Amen.
You know, we've got the Hugs getting ready to hit the streets again. That's so exciting. Amen. We are about, say this after me,
we are about
our Father's business. And our Father's business is souls. That's it. It's lives. And so everything we're doing, whether we're sitting here getting discipled, being taught the word, we want to put the word into action. Come on, someone say action. Come on, it's got to be in our everyday life, you know? And so we got Hugs going on. We've got a family event happening in July down at Belle Isle. We got SummerSlam coming. What's that, Pastor? Yeah, the nursing home ministry. Man, we were in prayer today, and I think it was you, Ruth, that was praying over that. You know, it's just so exciting to hear the heart and the passion to touch people's lives with Jesus. Amen? All we need to do is get out of the way and let Jesus use us. And so, so many good things happening. And then our Vacation Bible School, we're calling it Wild West Week. And man, we got some characters coming. You're not going to want to miss this. It's going to be a kid event. Yeah, we got. But we got live horses coming. We're going to have some horses, pony rides for the kids. That'll be at the end on our church picnic. But we got characters. Marshall Mark's going to be here, U.S. Marshal. Then we've got Johnny Ringo. Johnny Ringo's coming. One of his cohorts, Black Bart Slaniger, he's going to be here. And then Flo. Floyd couldn't make it this year, but Flo the barber is going to be here. Amen. At Flo's place. And so we're going to transform this sanctuary into an Old West town. It's going to be cool. And we're going to have lots of games and activities, especially at the church picnic. All that's happening August 9th through the 12th. So it's going to be a great time. And we're going to have some times of going out, and really, church family, you can be a part of helping us do this. You know, it's not going out of our way. We're witnessing and sharing on our way, right? So wherever we're on our way to, whether it's to work, to the grocery store, you know, out to the park, whatever, we're gonna put in your hands those hot cards to invite people out to church. Amen. We got to get back to that, man. We got to get back to Bible, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, we're getting back to Bible. Amen. So, listen, I didn't bring notes tonight because the reality is I don't even know exactly where we're going to go with this tonight, but I gave it a title, and it's so uncanny that I was preparing for this, and then I went to something this week, and I'm like, oh, yeah, God, this is so right on for right now. And I love being in the flow with Pastor Tommy and Pastor G, and, you know, we're all speaking the same thing, just in different ways. And I don't know if you notice it, but when our pastor's up here praying, I sense not only a passion, but an urgency.
Amen.
There's an urgency that's coming forth, not just from the person, but from heaven. God's speaking through. And then, you know, so when we're preaching or teaching up here, whether it's in children's church, whatever, we want to give you the Word of God so you can live victoriously. This should be dessert to your meals every week at the table of the Word. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So this is dessert. So the title of the message tonight, if you got a piece of paper and pen or pencil, it's this: Victory in the Face of Defeat. Victory in the Face of Defeat. How many have ever faced defeat before? Okay, yeah, we're facing it. How many have been able to overcome what looked like was going to be defeat, and all of a sudden you came out victorious on the other side, right? And so we've been there several times, probably many times, you know, just close to death a couple times, you know, with Jill and me. We're still here, Amen. God's still got a plan, right? That's the way I look at it. If we're still breathing, God's still got a plan. You know, turn to your neighbor, tell him God's got a plan, man. So I go to the seminar this week, and I'm not going to go into the detail of it because I do not want to bum you out. But I'll tell you, after the first session, there was about, 200-300 pastors there. We had to shake it off, like, ugh, because of the realities of where we are in a changing, very, very quick-paced, changing world. Things are changing so rapidly. How many kind of sense that? There's things that are changing, whether it's world economies, how many just kind of shake your head at some of the young people? You go, what in the world? Anybody like that? I mean, I remember our parents were probably like that with us, you know, when we grew our hair down to here and had ponytails and stuff like that. I remember one time my dad brought me home flowers. No kidding, we had 7 kids in our family. I have 4 sisters, and he brought me home flowers because I wouldn't cut my hair. So one day he showed up with a big bouquet of flowers and said, here, this is for my 5th daughter, you know, trying to shame me into cutting my hair. Well, I only grew it longer. Amen. Wait a minute, what was that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, and then I married a flower fanatic here, man. But you know what? I had a little bit of rebellion in me because when we first got married, she'd plant flowers. I didn't know they were flowers. And I love to weed whack, make everything just, you know, nice and even. And then she'd be planting flowers and I'd be in the backyard going, just, and man, looking sharp. And she'd come in the house and go, what happened to my flowers? What? I said, honey, I thought those were weeds. Because they didn't have the blooms on them yet. You know, I just thought they were weeds coming up.
And he wondered why we were accounting for
something. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Victory in the face of defeat. So I went to a seminar this week put on by big church, and the gentleman's name was John S. Dickerson. John Dickerson's 34 years old, and John is an author. He's a pastor in California now, but he used to be a journalist, so much so he was very successful early on, early age, that he worked with Charles Gibson from ABC News and Tom Brokaw from NBC News. And they were hoping that he was this rising journalistic star, right? And they finally asked him, both of them asked him at a big brouhaha or a big conference they were having. And he won some kind of big award. And so what are you going to do? And he just shot out, I want to be a pastor. And God got a hold of his life. So he studies, he does a lot of studies, scripturally, and then where we are in trends in terms of our world. And really, you don't have to be a scholar. You don't even have to have, your head halfway in the sand to know that, as Pastor was saying, Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
And you wonder, you kind of wonder, Lord, what are you waiting for? Because everything's going crazy. And the craziest thing is our younger generation, the millennials, the 18 to 20. Actually the 18 to 34-year-olds, and the title of the seminar was How Do We Reach Millennials? And we live now in a post-truth society. Post-truth meaning that 54% of Americans do not believe in absolute truth. They don't believe 57%. 57% do not believe in absolute truth. Okay? Now this will blow your mind. By 2020, for the first time in history, millennials will outnumber baby boomers. in 4 years. Okay, so changing world. This is the one that really shocked me. And this is what just kind of impressed upon me personally why God called me here to help Pastor Tommy to reach kids. Because right now, these statistics were taken from Barna Institute, from Gallup poll, and from the Pew Institute of Research. Okay, all three of them said 2 out of 3 millennials, 18 to 34-year-olds, are leaving the faith, never to return. 2 out of 3. That's happening in our world today. There's many more things that are going on. Just, you know, economically, socioeconomically, we can see what's happening with the spread of terrorism. All this stuff, it's all happening. But see, look up, your redemption draws nigh, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why when pastor's talking and why I will never buy into this social gospel that doesn't get people to heaven. It gets people helping people, but it doesn't get people to heaven.
Amen.
And it doesn't equip them for the storms that they're going to face. There's nothing wrong with help. We're supposed to help people. That's a given. But to water this thing down to where, kid you not, it wasn't the pastor of this large church, but was one of the teachers that we were just with some friends recently, and they attended the church, and the teacher actually taught that God gives you things like cancer. Straight up, God gives you cancer. This stuff is being taught in some of our churches, and it really shook some people. I said, wait a minute, how do you parse these scripture that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above? How do you parse that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law? How do you, and it here it is. It's all experiential rather than scriptural. So that's why when pastor's talking about, you know, bring your Bible, read your Bible, feed on your Bible, live with your Bible, sleep with your Bible, get the Bible in you, because there is a spirit of deception that's growing exponentially. One of the things that was really alarming is that millennials do not believe in absolute truth. Let me say this. Evil is now good, and good is evil. It's all mixed up. And the reality is, when we're just speaking about these things, we now are the bad guys. We're the haters. So we really have to rightly divide the word of truth, and regardless of our situation, regardless of strokes, regardless of diabetes, regardless of heart attacks, my God still heals. Amen.
Amen.
My God still saves.
Amen.
So regardless of all that, we're all going to die one way or another, but God is good.
Amen.
And to say anything contrary to that is not scriptural.
Amen.
And I think it was Lynn, we were sitting at table having dinner, or somebody... What God's doing, He's raising up a remnant, His remnant. Because the world's getting darker and darker, therefore the light's going to shine brighter and brighter. But it's going to be through a remnant. Remnants, basically the 10%ers. And those are the people that are going to walk in the truth of the gospel and speak the truth in love. And that's something I personally have to walk on, because sometimes I want to the moon with you. You know, are you kidding me? When scripture, you know, so anyway, that's why this message tonight, I pray that it'll encourage you tonight, because the fact is many believers never seem to move forward in their walk with God. They never seem to grow in the things of God because they let their past failures or present circumstances dictate their walk with God. And so they can never move forward. And I love what Paul said in Philippians 3:13. You don't have to turn there, but he said, forgetting those things which are behind me, right? Forget those things. We've been set free. The blood of the Lamb has washed away our sins and our past. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But forgetting those things and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And Paul says, I press on. See, you and I have to do the pressing on. Jesus did all the pressing on he's going to do. He went to the cross, man. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He did his job. The question is, are we going to do our job? Are we going to follow Scripture and not follow society?
Amen.
Not follow the winds of doctrines that come and go. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles with me. We're going to turn to several scriptures tonight. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Yeah, I heard you guys Sunday. You guys tried to shout us down out there. So we just shouted back at you. Amen. Pastor Tommy, when you told them to open their Bible, man, there was a bunch of shouting going on. And then I said, kids, come on, let's shout them down. And so, yeah. Amen. Joshua, you know, and so as long as we let the devil or outside influences in our busy lifestyles, how many are busy? Right? We're all busy. Everybody's busy, right? But as long as we let those situations keep us from the Word of God, keep our eyes out of the Word, keep our ears out of the Word, keep our mouths from functioning with the Word, we're going to experience habitual defeats. It's like talking before church with Robert here. He was telling me about a gal he was witnessing to, a college student, a millennial, right? And he asked her, do you have a spiritual life? And she goes, no. You know, just like, no, no. He goes, well, you're going to have a pretty tough life to go. And she's like, what do you mean? And so it opened up the door for him to share. And, you know, I love stories like that. That we always got to be looking, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. God, where can I bring you in on the scene, right? Because believe it or not, we all face defeat at times. But if we're doing, we know people that don't have Jesus, they're hitting defeats all the time, right? And so we got to be ready with the Word. And so Joshua says this, let's see, verse 6. He said, it says this in Joshua. Now we all know that Moses, he went 6 feet under, and the whole kit and caboodle was turned over to Joshua now, right? Joshua's in charge. Chapter 1, verse 6 says, be strong and be of good courage to this people. You shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Turn to your neighbor, tell him that. Be strong and very courageous. Listen, we could stop right there and have church the rest of the night because we're facing some things in our world today. The other day, I looked across the table, and pastors were like, and we're just like, we have to shake this off, man. We, you know, don't you think all our Bible heroes faced defeat? They were all staring at it. The early church faced a lot. We're seeing the persecution around the world, and God's saying, be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. In other words, he's saying, keep this book before your very life.
Amen.
Keep this book before your very life. Don't get off into this and off into that. Now, I'm going to be just real honest. I've had the privilege just to be around just recently other churches, other pastors, and seeing what's going on. And when pastor's talking up here, he's not joking. He's not joking. Listen to me. Just because there's big crowds doesn't mean it's godly.
Amen.
Okay. Now, that's not to say we don't want big crowds. We want big crowds, right? We want people to come to Jesus.
Amen.
But what's killing the faith is this easy believinism. This that believe in this and believe in that. And what that means is people are moving away to the left and to the right, away from Scripture, away from truth. Okay? And he goes on to say, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your what? Eyes, ears, mouth. We got to get this in our mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. In other words, have a consistent lifestyle of being in the Word. Just like we get dressed physically every day, we brush our teeth, we comb our hair, what little hair we might have, whatever, right? We do all that. We take care of ourselves. We go to the gym. We do all that. Listen, make an appointment with Jesus every day. You have to. Otherwise, you're going to get pulled to the right or to the left, okay? Meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In other words, what he's saying is you're going to have less defeat in your life.
Amen.
Okay? Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid or dismayed. Man, is that a word for today?
Amen.
You know, I have to really work at separating my... I still have to separate myself out of this military mentality that I grew up with and lived myself for 13 years. I just, you know, you just want to, okay, that this needs to happen, so that'll happen, so that'll stop. Why doesn't anybody see that, right? This needs to happen. I'm sorry. It's just, and so all of a sudden I get myself worked up. And God's saying here, do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you for wherever you go.
Amen.
We've got to let the Holy Spirit be the umpire of our hearts. Let Him speak peace into your heart. And folks, I want you to know, there's victory for whatever you're facing today. It's only found in the Word of God. I don't think we can stress that enough, because I think it was Joyce Meyer that said, you know, when you're in trouble, do you run to the phone or do you run to the throne?
Amen.
Right? Do we run to the phone? We tell our friends, and I had this experience and blah, 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 blah. Well, yeah, you just need to. And all of a sudden, this worldly ideas of getting through whatever situation is now at the forefront, instead of what does God say about this? What does the Word say about this? Right? So a lot of times we run to the phone rather than to the throne. But God has guaranteed us victory if we'll stay in the Word. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to go from one end to the other tonight. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Paul here, he's talking about when we get to heaven, our final victory. And in verse 53, he says this, 1 Corinthians 15, 53, for this corruptible, our bodies, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But, everybody say but. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to Jesus is our victory. And it says, therefore, or because of that, he said, my beloved brethren and sisterin, be steadfast, immovable. In other words, stay the course. Stay the course. Stay strong. We were talking earlier today, and the reason we're seeing this drastic change in our culture, and here's where, when we got saved, and maybe a lot of you guys can attest to this, we got saved in July, you were in June, I think, 1978. It was right after we got married, we got saved. We didn't know anything. We were two heathens. We didn't know anything, okay? And then there was such a pull from the world on us, we were already heavy dope smokers, heavy drinkers, heavy cigarette smoker. I'm doing all this. She's doing all this. And we're just, having such a hard time with cutting loose from that stuff. The enemy finally won round one with us, and we backslid for a couple years. And it wasn't until I met a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, fire-breathing, Bible-preaching sergeant about that tall in the army that was not ashamed of the gospel and got in my grill, and I discovered what it meant to be filled with the Spirit, right? Well, a couple things happened. That's when the light came on and the real darkness in our life began to show up. And she mentioned counseling. We went to lots of counseling for that. Christian counseling. But here we, at the time though, even though we were, still having, we'd never miss church. We would never. We'd go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. And then you remember, honey, when I was on recruiting duty, we had these, they weren't revival events, but it was when Dish Satellite came out. And we had these live services that were broadcast all over the world. It's like in 1980, 81, 82 time period. It was about 82, I think it was. And for weeks on end, we would go to church every night, and the church, 300, 400, 500 people packed every night. Every night. People are getting born again. People are getting filled with the Spirit. We got physically healed of some infirmities we both had in our bodies. It was so noticeable, so noticeable. We didn't want to miss anything, okay? Therefore, our kids were there too. And even though we got issues in our family, all our kids are still serving God, okay? Now, this isn't to beat up on anybody, but here's what's happened. Over the years, that's waned. And so when people our age, maybe a little bit younger, felt that, I don't need to go to church, and I'll go maybe once, twice a month. And all of a sudden, guess what? Who grew up under that? Who grew up under that? The kids. Guess who the kids are? The millennials today. Today. The 18 to 34-year-olds. They grew up under that. Amen. That's not to put down anybody, but that's the reality. There wasn't that passion, that drive, that just wanting more of Jesus. And not only that, I don't know about you guys, but we just love hanging out and fellowship. And isn't that great, Pastor Tommy? I mean, just the small groups, the things that we're doing here at the church, and we're going to be doing more of that. There's something about that koinonia spirit that you just love. Rubbing shoulders, hanging out at the fire, man. Eating a hot dog. And, watching a guy like this eat 5 or 6 hot dogs, man. It's like, what in the world, brother? Yeah. No, but there's something about that. Like Brother Tom says all the time when we're with the men, he says, it just feels right because it is right. You see what I'm saying? It feels right because it is right. Why? Because Jesus is in the middle of them. He's in the middle of us, right? The Holy Spirit's in us, and we have that common commonality, that camaraderie, that we're going to war together. Amen.
Right.
See? And if I'm facing a potential defeat, I can go to my brothers. We can pray and believe God together for victory. That waned many years ago. But I can tell you, it's here in this church. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And so that's what I'm saying. God didn't change. God didn't change. We're the ones that changed. And so to find the junkyard dogs, as I say, the junkyard dogs, there's very few and far between. Okay? But God's raising up a remnant. And so going back to verse 58, Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always," everybody say always, "always abounding in the work of the Lord." Now let's just talk about that for a second. Excuse me. What does the work of the Lord look like to you? What does the work of the Lord? Robert, I saw your hand go up. What was that, brother? Going after souls. Love it. What's the work of the Lord look like for you? Going after souls. Might be just sitting down with having a cup of coffee with someone and asking Jesus to get in the middle of that conversation. Kathy? Encouraging people. That's the work of the Lord. And at night, we need to encourage one another all the time. We're commanded to do that Philippians 6? No, not Philippians 6. Where is that, Pastor Tommy? Is it Philippians 6? No, Galatians 6. That's it. Galatians 6, 7. We're doing Galatians 6, 10. That's it. We're to encourage especially those who are of the household of faith, but also encourage those that are outside the family of God. Be that light. What's another a work of the Lord? What would be a work of the Lord in your eyes? Loving people. Does that mean just us? No. Loving the unlovable. That's the work of the Lord. Anybody else got any ideas floating around here? Come on, I know you do. Yeah, Bob.
Listening.
That's great. Listening. Just being there. Absolutely. Say that again, Bob.
Listening to what people have to say.
Yeah. Right. Amen. And therefore, we're not like the me monster waiting to jump in there. Okay, we're going to say something now. No, we wait on the Spirit of God. While we're listening, we're waiting on the Spirit of God. What's God going to say through me? How am I? He might not want you to say anything.
Amen.
But just have that ministry of presence. Right?
Right.
Somebody else had their hand up. Work of the Lord. Inviting people to go to the church. Amen. Yes.
Praying for others.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a big one. Every time. Didn't you talk about that gal that she wanted prayer? See.
No, I encouraged
her to pray. And she prayed, and God kind of showed up in that situation. Right? That's an unbeliever.
Amen.
See? So we're just looking for those opportunities. See, because we're in a vastly, quickly changing world, we got to ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom on how to connect with this world, because what I did even 5 years ago doesn't work.
Amen.
So we really got to be, Lord, how can I do, always abounding in the work of the Lord, how can I do the work of the Lord in this situation with this group of people or with this person right now? What does that look like, God? Help me, Holy Spirit. Praise God. So, Romans the 8th chapter. We're talking about victory in the face of defeat. Jesus won the victory for us. And I love this. This is just to encourage you tonight. Romans chapter 8. Paul writes in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? I'm going to ask it again. Shall tribulation? Say it loud. Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? famine, nakedness, peril, sword. And then he goes on, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You know what he's saying? Whoop-de-doo, man. I still get to serve Jesus. Amen. Right. I still get to serve Jesus. Right? He said this, though, yet in all these things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, and see, this is, we can't, it's so easy, and this is what's happening in our culture, to be persuaded in other, other than the Word of God, right? You know, it's okay to shack up with so-and-so, I mean, we still love Jesus. See, people get persuaded into, that's okay. And when you try to bring light, this is where we got to be. And one of the things they talked about is reaching millennials or reaching unbelievers. You've got to use wisdom. You've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We've got to make sure our motivation in people's lives is always in the love of Christ. And I got to watch this too, because I can get looks and tones. See, looks and tones that automatically shut people down. So you could be telling them the truth, but you lost them in your tones, in your look. And I think what Bob said back there is very important, the listening part of it. Not just to that person, but listening to the Holy Spirit on how am I going to respond to this situation without losing this person. Because all people, even the terrorists, you remember that website I gave you, the prayforaterrorist.com? Yeah, that's still there. Even the terrorists were called to love. Amen. Because they were made in the image of God. Yeah. That's reality. That's scripture. Okay? Now, we don't condone. And see, that's where a lot, and this where this helped me understand this week. I got revelation knowledge on this. I understand why young people think this way. Because they're void of this. The truth that they believe in is what they experience and what they feel right now. That's why, whether you've heard it or not, I've heard lots of it. Believe it or not, there's a lot of people sympathizing with the acts of terrorism. In fact, 25-year-old lady that worked for National Security Agency just got arrested. Yeah. Right? Served in the Air Force 6 years. 25 years old. Some of her posts sympathize with ISIS. Okay? Why is that? They're void of truth. Amen. Okay? So now, the world that they live in, that's truth to them. Now, you just have to, you know, I get that now. I can understand. When people do the crazy things they do, we got to understand why. They're lost, right? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And so the truth is that God is good. We serve a good God and a bad devil, right? There's a good God and there's a bad devil. That's what I tell the kids out there. Everybody say, good God. Bad devil. Okay, you got to say it with some attitude. Good God, bad devil. And see, that's a truth right there, right? And I love what, go with me to Psalm 103. I'll just show you how good God is. Psalm 103 here. David writes, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. We get benefits, lifelong, eternal benefits, when we bless the Lord. Amen. That's what he's saying. Don't forget his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. You know, even my human thinking says, how can you, God, forgive this guy for the stupid things I've done and said and thought and da-da-da-da? But I still say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's forgiven me. And see, that's what we have to do, is to let go of the past in order to have victory in the face of defeat. Now, I got to be honest with you. My mother, saved, filled with the Spirit, 20-some years, did not live, have a victorious life until 3 days before her death. And here's why. She could never forgive herself. Amen. Until 3 days before she died. Amen. And the Holy Spirit came into her room at the hospital. And she just sat there. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Just so, I'd never seen her. Have we never seen her in so much peace before? Jesus showed up big time in her life. But she could never forgive herself. And folks, I want you to know that whatever you're facing or whatever your past is, God says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life. That word redeem means that he's rescued you. He snatched you out of the pits of hell. Your feet were on fire, and when you said yes to Jesus, he lifted you up. Come on up, brother. Hey, Bob doesn't want to let go of the past. Come on, Bob. He lifted you up. God, and I love the way you took hold of my wrist. Yeah, because there's nothing going to get between us. And when Jesus rescued us, Psalm 41, he picked us up out of the miry clay, right? And he set our feet on a rock, on him. And so we need to see that, a picture of ourselves, that we are standing on the rock, holy and righteous before him. We are right standing with God. He's forgiven, he rescued, he ransomed us. He set us free from our past. Someone say, God's a good God. Where did my Bible go? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Who redeems your life from destruction. Oh, I love this. He puts a crown on us, right? Crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. You see, oh, Jill, come here, Jill. I can do this with Jill. Amen. I was going to have Ronnie come up, but it probably wouldn't be appropriate. So, no. He crowns us with loving and with tender mercies. I just picture this. Jesus going, my child.
Yeah.
I love you. You know, I love you so much. That's when I read that, that's what I see. And, you know, when the enemy tries to bring up past defeats, all that stuff, man. No, wait a minute. God says. God says. See, the world and this, I'm telling you, there's so many people. It's like the masses going into these churches sometimes and they come out. There's no change. No change. They don't understand that. Thanks, honey. I'm just saying. The depth of God's love for us, right? Who satisfies your mouth, your life with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God is a good God. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, where is there's no shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He's the same. Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. My God doesn't change. So God is a good God. And because he's so good, he sent Jesus on a rescue mission for us. That rescue mission should be our rescue mission. Because people in our lives today, in our families, and in our workplace, in our neighborhood, people are facing defeat. But Jesus came on a rescue mission to rescue us from defeat. And I love what he said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he said, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his rescue mission. Okay? This ought to be our mission in life. No matter how dark the world is getting, folks, our light needs to shine even brighter. You know, I just publicly confess, I had to go on my Facebook and delete all the stuff I was ticked off about these people that are just, you know, sympathizing with these terrorists I challenged one dude. I said, hey, have you visited a jihadi, and I don't do this, a jihadi website? Do you see what these people do to little boys and girls? Don't tell me they don't have jobs and they've just been misunderstood. Please. So what I did, I had to repent. I said, Lord, and I went on and I got rid of all that stuff. And I put Jesus on there. Okay? Now see, we all have to work at this, right? Am I just being too real? We all have to work at this. And so it's so important that we understand that I'm on planet Earth for one reason and one reason only. The only reason Jesus is allowing me to breathe right now is that he's got a mission for me. Amen. He's got a mission for me. He's got a mission for you. Yes. And the mission isn't just coming to church, getting fed, and going home and working and then doing it all over again. No, man, it's like I said, it's not going out of your way, it's going on your way with a mission. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when you think about what he did, Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for me. He washed away my past. I have victory in the face of defeat. I have victory in the face of defeat. God is a good God. Jesus himself said that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just for the here and now. It's just not for the sweet by and by. It's for eternity. And here it is, folks. It's not for us to hoard to ourselves at all. We're to give it away. We're to give Jesus away to people. We're to, as all the things that you guys said tonight, pray for people, share with people, listen to people, that's giving it away. Too many of us want to be filled, but we don't want to be spilled. I think it was the gentleman the other day said, many of us want to go to heaven, but we don't want to die. Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Right. We have to die to ourselves, come to realize that, yeah, we all have a calling. The calling never changes. Our functions and our purposes do. Our assignments do. Your assignment as a Christian might vary. It might be to work at General Motors or to work in as a receptionist or work at the gym or a school teacher or whatever. That's your assignment. But your calling is to preach Jesus and to represent the kingdom to a lost and dying world. That's our calling. All of us have that calling. Too many of us think in our churches today that it's just for the pastors. No. No. We can't go where you go, where you live, where you work, where you play. You have that calling. Victory in the face of defeat. I think what we're going to do is stop here tonight. Jesus did his job. We'll pick this up next week. Jesus did his job. Amen. The question is, will we do ours? Will we do ours? That's the question. Will I do my job? Will I represent him? Will I see, you know, and one of the things that's hard for a lot of Christians, and I get it, I understand. Some Christians let their past continually beat them up. Keep hammering. You did this. How could you? No. No. Uh-uh. Listen, Jesus loved you so much. Scripture says you were bought with a price. Even when we didn't, none of us deserve it. I'm sure we could all sit around, my friends, and talk about war stories. About our ugly side. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else will do. A man can't do it for you. A church can't do it for you. Only Jesus. And we need each other more than ever before. More than ever before. We need each other because all of us are going to face situations that only the Lord can deliver us out of it. But I'll tell you what's so good. When I know my pastor or another brother is standing with me in that, oh my gosh, it's so much easier to face. It really is. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. So, Pastor Tommy, I'm going to turn it back to you, brother. Amen.